welcome to Comic Talk today for Wednesday, January 30th, 2019. Ronnie. Ronnie's joining me today. Aaron's joining me today.
Yeah.
You can, of course, listen to their profound discussion of all DC topics on the Absolute DC podcast.
Sometimes non-DC topics.
Yes.
I mean, look, we don't want to pigeon ourselves into something.
We just talk, and we go where the conversation takes us.
See, if you guys were all stars, you would stay on topic.
Yeah.
Would we?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe. At least for a few episodes.
We might be gone in 60 seconds, though, so.
This guy. You really want that movie, don't you?
I love that movie.
It's all right. I haven't seen it in a long time.
That's why you just said it's all right.
Yeah.
If you just freshly watched it, you'd think it was as awesome as I do.
You know what I watched? I watched Geostorm today.
Oh, God.
Geostorm and Rampage. Both fantastic films.
I like Rampage.
Yeah, Rampage is good. It's on HBO.
Is it?
Yeah. Anyways, we're not talking about Rampage. This is not the Rock podcast. I've gathered these two highly intellectuals to discuss some serious topics. Cause, I usually get you guys on here to do our Kickstarter corner.
Yeah.
Because, the three of us keep Kickstarter in business.
Yes.
Especially Ronnie. But, today we've got a kind of a tangential Kickstarter topic. And I know that Aaron's got some things to say about this. But I posted a tweet today, so by the time you listen to this, it'll be last week. And my tweet said, DC is downsizing, and the Kickstarter sets a new record. I see an episode incoming. Comic Book Resources had an article today about Kickstarter's comic book category setting a new record for 2018. Did you guys take a look at the article at all?
I did not. I just kind of, I saw the headline, and it broke like $1 million, I think, right?
So, in 2018, Kickstarter comic books did $16
million. $16 million, okay. It broke $16
million. $16 million. So I'll give you some stats. $16 million for the comic book projects over 2018. That's a 26% increase from 2017. Okay. Same with the number of books. There were 1,457 comics that were funded in 2018. That's 14% increase from 2017. And it's three times the number that was created and funded in 2012. So
wow.
2012, I guess that would be what, like $5 million? That's still pretty damn good, I would say. But 2018, $16 million.
And like 12 million of three of us.
Yes. Well, maybe a million. I don't know about 12 million.
Yeah.
Maybe a million. So what do you guys think? I mean, there was, and you guys do your DC podcast, so I don't want to talk too much about this, but DC is restructuring their company. They laid off a bunch of people. I think like 3% of the company.
Yeah, but 3% of the company turns out it's only 7 people.
So that
did
was,
you,
yeah.
Did
that,
you read that?
Yeah, that was my next thing, right? Cause it seems like they just got rid of people that were probably making a lot of money.
That was my assumption.
Yeah.
That it was getting rid of a little bit of, you know, money at the top.
Yeah.
And then just moving a couple people saying, okay, you're now going to do your job and their job.
Yeah. Which it's kind of gone that way with the comics too, right? With like artists doing double duty, inking and drawing and sometimes even coloring their own stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure that helps quite a bit. Although I saw C.B. Sobolski was tweeting about the fact that Marvel is short on inkers, which I thought that was kind of interesting too.
Hmm. Yeah, that is odd.
You know what they could do? They could just have a friend of the show, Ryan Wynn, ink all their work.
Yep.
See?
Or the Baron, right?
Well, the Baron's over at DC, right? What's the one that he just did?
He's doing Detective.
Detective. That's right. That's right.
Well, I mean, he doesn't have to have an exclusive DC
no, that's
contract.
True. That's true.
Right?
Yeah, that's true. It might be a little easier with the colorists.
Yeah. Or the letterers, even.
Yeah, or the letterers. So what do you think it is about the Kickstarter itself that is – why are people flocking to Kickstarter?
I don't know. I have zero thoughts on this topic.
You have zero thoughts. Sure you do.
No. Basically what I alluded to in my tweet. I think that a lot of it has to do with, you know, the – I mean, I don't want to say the general comic book audience, because the general comic book audience are people that are going to stores and buying their regular Marvel DC image books. But there's a lot of people out there that, you know, they grows, they like the villains and whatever, but at some point they're like, all right, what else is there? And you see on Kickstarter there, I mean, we have gone through on numerous episodes of this show. There's such a variety of stuff. And I mean, it's not just, you know, some guy sitting in his own house making his own comic book, being like, I want to be a comic book person and I need, you know, $12,000 so I can publish. There are like legitimate big name creators putting out books because it's things that they want to do. And I guess, you know, like Cullen Bunn with the anthology, I guess there really aren't publishers looking to do that. So he's going, all right, you know what? I've got a following. Let's see if I can do this on Kickstarter. And then you see, you know, some stuff. I mean, what Metro was, what, like 500% funded? Something crazy. I mean, there's so much stuff out there. And for fans of comic books, I mean, at this point, I try and limit myself to only going on Kickstarter like once or twice a week.
That's
so it's not like, so it's not like every single day. Let's look at this. Let's look at that. I mean, I'll get the email updates on stuff that I'm watching, trying to decide if I'm going to follow or back.
Or one of us backed.
Yeah. But like I'll look at new projects on there. Yeah, probably like, all right, four or five times a week. but I mean, they're like every day there's something new. Interesting. You know, if you like horror comics, there's horror comics. If you like fantasy comics, there's fantasy comics. If you like, you know, if you want an anthology book, they have those. I mean, there's like literally every type of book. And a lot of it is stuff that you might not see on the shelves at your local shop or on Comixology or something.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that's what I look for. I look for anthologies because nobody except Aftershock does one. Well, Alterna's doing an anthology book, kind of. But really the only one doing like a really nice anthology is Aftershock, and that's only once a year.
Yep. Right.
So if that's the kind of thing you're after, then that's where you have to go. And that's what I don't get. Like, I think I've said this many times, but I ask publishers all the time, why don't you do an anthology? And they're like, oh, nobody will buy it. Well, obviously somebody's buying it because there's a ton of them on Kickstarter and they all get funded.
Yeah. And they all get like super funded.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, I mean, the majority of the ones that I've backed or been following or whatever, if you look at it, I mean, they're 300, 400, 600, 800% funded all the time.
Well, and looking at the one that Ronnie's been watching, Moonshot, I mean, that's on volume 3, and that's like 100 and something percent funded already.
Yeah.
I think it's at like $55,000 or $60,000, last I checked.
Yep.
And it's almost over, but I mean, like, what more could you want? I mean, 60 grand for it's, let me pull it up because I need to know now. all right, here we go. It's at 54,970 with 1,161 backers. So I think the problem is maybe some of these publishers are only looking at numbers. And if a book only sells 1,161 copies, it's not going to be on the diamond charts.
Right.
But I guarantee you they're probably making more on this than you would on a charting book.
That's the thing. I mean, if you're going to have, say, DC put out, if DC was putting out Moonshot, okay, there would be so many people that would get it that wouldn't know about it. So you would have more people. My assumption is you'd have more people picking it up. But the thing is, these people that are doing this book are doing it by themselves on Kickstarter, and they're still getting, they said the first one, looking at it now, the first volume had 1,300 backers. So a no-name group of people that, you know, that are putting out their first anthology did 1,300 sales, you know, with no marketing, no anything. That's crazy. And I don't get why more people don't do it.
I'm not sure if you're that, like the new people come into comics that just get Marvel, just get the DC. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the market for people who buy on Kickstarter. I think it's more like us or Mike Myers, say, or, you know, Rob Krieger.
No, that's what I was saying, though. I'm saying, you know, they had 1,300 for the first one. They had 1,500 for the second volume, and they're doing it on their own. That if this was a DC book, just imagine, you know, if they have their ad, you know, for upcoming books in every comic, you know, that they put out for a month, you know, you see Moonshot, you know, July, here's the pre-order code or whatever. You know, I mean, there's no way that it would only do, if 1500 random pulled upon this on Kickstarter with a little bit of backing from a big company, imagine what it could do.
Right.
Yeah.
And another thing I think that draws people to Kickstarter too is original graphic novels, right? Yeah. So there's only two companies now that do original graphic novels, like straight to graphic novels, and the first being Aftershock and then TKO. But you can also get the singles from TKO.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's some Image books that are moving that direction too, because they're not doing well in singles, but they sell enough in the trade.
Yeah, but that's the trade though. I'm just saying, like, straight to graphic novel.
What's Black Mass doing? I know that's maybe a hot topic that we don't want to talk about.
But I mean, let's see.
aren't they oh, you know what? No, they're doing something similar to Image. I think they're doing the first three issues in singles, and then they release the next one in trade. So yeah, it's still the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough, man. But
they have to get three issues out before they can do that.
Well, you know, that's a different story.
but back to that topic though, like with TKO, they don't have to print. I mean, sure, you're going to print, you know, 1,000 trades of each one or whatever, so you have them on, but then you can just print on demand after that.
Well, so I'm going to try to get somebody from TKO on the podcast to talk about that, because I thought that's what they were doing, but I don't think it is print on demand. I think they are printing batches at a time.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you only print 50 and then all of a sudden, you know, you sell 30 and then you order another 50. So that way you're still staying even keel with the printing though.
See, I don't want to bring up Amazon because Amazon kills everybody's business every time. But, you know, originally I think that was the idea for the Comixology originals, because those are definitely print on demand.
Okay.
And any of the Comixology original books that you get, you can order the full trade, and they don't print one until you order it. But then again, that's Amazon. And I'm curious why either Kickstarter wouldn't try to figure out this process. Because really, I mean, it would help creators a lot, right? If Kickstarter had that built into the system. Or why Amazon hasn't decided to go into that. Because obviously, if Kickstarter is making money on this, there's a business there.
Yeah.
Right.
And Kickstarter is far from perfect.
Oh, yeah. Definitely far from perfect. Kickstarter is like eBay was like when eBay first started.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. It's almost a free-for-all.
Yeah.
But I mean, it would help people, right? Like, we were talking about the issue with Metro. Was it last week? The printing issue they had?
Yeah.
I mean, if Kickstarter was doing this in-house somehow, then that would not have been a problem.
Right. Right.
And I don't, maybe the thing is, maybe what Kickstarter needs to do is branch off the comic book thing.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Cause I mean, Kickstarter's not specifically comic books, you know, like it, I mean, they do, there's everything on there. So would they really go ahead with like a printing press? You know, if Kickstarter's main focus was, you know, we're going to print books, you know, comic books and, you know, magazine, whatever, I could see them doing it, but I don't know. Do you think it's really worth their time?
If this category is doing as much money as they say it is, then I don't see why it wouldn't be. Because they could really make it something to compete against other small publishers, right?
Yeah, that's true.
If you're going to put your book out through a comic book publisher, you have to go through the process of submitting it and getting it approved and going through editors and this, that, and the other, regardless of where you go, right? Like, even if you go to Image, where they don't give a crap what you do, as long as you have, what is it, like the first arc done before they solicit, something like that.
Something like that.
As long as you do that, like, they have no input. It's all up to the creator. And Kickstarter doesn't need to approve anything, right?
Yeah.
All you need to do is say, this is the book I'm putting out. Exactly like they're doing now. Just provide the facilities to put that book out.
Yeah. Cause there's some crazy books. Yeah,
there was one, I'm not going to mention it because it's completely ludicrous, I sent Ronnie a link to one before that. I'm like, what even is this? I cannot even fathom why this would be made. And yet there it is. And it's the second volume. So the first one must have done well.
Well, yeah. I mean, and what's doing well? I mean, if you can sell 1,000 copies and make money, then why not? Right.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, a DC book, you probably need to sell at least 20,000 copies. If you go below 20,000, you're going to get canceled. There's very few books that last long enough before they get canceled. Like Midnighter was one of them. Midnighter was doing like 15,000-16,000 copies, but the people that liked it really freaking liked it. And there was no real drop in sales, so they kept on putting it out. But they probably were making money on it because they have to pay a marketing department and advertising department and editorial and this, that, and the other. Like there's a big structure.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, Omega Man would be the recent one, right?
Yeah, that was canceled until people threw a hissy fit.
Yeah.
I was one of those people.
Yeah, I was too.
Shame on me. Look what we did.
What, we got a good book finished?
Well, true. That's very true.
You guys are good Samaritans.
Yeah. That was back when you used to be able to sit with Tom in Artist Alley and just hang out.
Yeah. Ah, the days.
Yeah.
The days.
Back in that day. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it seems like there's definitely a thing. Cause think about how many, there's like services that tie into Kickstarter, right? For, like some of the perks afterwards. I know the one that Matt Kent did.
Backer Kit?
Backer Kit, that's the one. That's not owned by Kickstarter. It's a separate company. They just tie into your Kickstarter account.
Yeah. Yeah, cause it seems like they've figured out a way to streamline, you know, whatever that, you know, maybe Kickstarter was having a problem keeping it organized and getting everything together with reward stuff. And, you know, it's Backer Kit's fantastic because once you use something, you know, once you use them once as a backer of projects, all your information is stored right there. You know, every survey, every anything that they send out, it's all right there if you ever need to go back and look at something. And it's like super easy to finish everything off. Like once the project is done, you're just like, here's my info, just send it whenever.
Let me read you this slightly pretentious quote. This is from Kickstarter Comics Outreach lead, and she said, "Mainstream publishers and media tend to treat diversity like a trend, but at Kickstarter, we know it's not a buzzword, it's a set of actions. To break the cycle of oppression and inequity, marginalized creators must reap the rewards both financially and creatively."
Oh my goodness.
Now, I don't know how much of that is true, right? Like, that might be true with the amount of work you have to do to get on at Marvel or DC. Mm. But I mean, surely if you pitch your book to like Vault or Black Scout. Mass, Scout, Alterna, any of those publishers, you're not going through a cycle of oppression.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, no. Dude, I look at Kickstarter like it is what it is for the comic parts, like where it could kickstart your career, whether you're the writer or the artist or the inventor for that matter.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's been very successful Kickstarters. What was the one, Pebble? I think that was the first big one, right? They did like millions and millions of dollars.
Oh yeah. there's something for a camera that's like an autofocus thing that basically you just attach it to your camera and it just adjusts every single setting automatically. So it, like, every little bit of everything is perfect to get like perfect pictures. And I think it's made like $17 million.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Someone that I know, like posted a link to the thing on Facebook because they were, I think it's going for sale soon, like pre-orders, like through Kickstarter. And the whole website was like, "We're the most successful Kickstarter of all time," or something. I mean, it was like crazy amounts of money for this thing. That, I mean, it's just bizarre.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. What I wonder is why are like Marvel or DC not investing in something like this to help their process, right? I mean, if you think back to, what was it, early, like 93, 94, when Marvel bought Malibu for their coloring studio?
Yeah.
Quote unquote. That's what they say, at least. I mean, that's not the real reason. DC was going to buy Malibu and Marvel stepped in and they never used the characters again. But, yeah. I mean, there is probably some truth to it, right? I mean, the stuff that Malibu was doing in their coloring department was above and beyond what anybody else was doing. But the only reason that was the case is because they were doing digital coloring before anybody else. Everybody else was still doing markers. So had they waited a couple of years, I mean, they'd be there anyway.
Yeah. See, I'm wondering if part of that also, I mean, if all of the, I guess not really controversy around comic books, but all of the groups of people who will come up with something completely ludicrous to complain about in a comic book, and they just troll the companies and the creators over and over and over again. I mean, if you look at Kickstarter, I mean, there's some out there books that if, you know, what any of these anti-comic book fan groups, if they got a hold of any of these things, they would just go, their heads would explode. So, I mean, maybe I think that's another reason why people are kind of into Kickstarter, is because there is, you know, what was the book? Mockingbird.
Oh yeah.
You know, if that was your thing, but Marvel was like, you know what? We're canceling this much flack from lunatics. You know, you go on Kickstarter and there's like a dozen books just like it for you. And I think that could be why, you know, some of the bigger companies might kind of not shy away, but, you know, sort of just ignore it, because they don't want to. If DC were to invest, just say, in Kickstarter's comic book, whatever, and then you see, you know, just take Moonshot again as an example, because it's all indigenous creators. You have these psychos now that'll be, you know, flipping out about indigenous, oh, they're, you know, whatever, and this is ridiculous, and it's, you know, so does DC really want to deal with that, you know, on top of everything else that they're already dealing with?
I mean, maybe not, but they have to find a way to bring in new talent, right? I mean, remember a couple years ago, Marvel was kind of in the dumps because everyone was leaving to go to DC or doing their own creator-owned stuff. And that's when they brought in, like, Ronnie's favorite, Rosenberg, you know, Jody Houser doing Star Wars and a few other things. Like, they brought in a lot of indie creators from Vault and Black Mask and other companies to helm their stuff. I mean, like, think about Donny Cates, man. Donny Cates has been doing comics for, like, 10-plus years. And nobody knew who the hell Donny Cates was until a couple years ago.
Yeah, that's true. I just figured they can cherry-pick like they normally do with the buzz stuff. The big two, anyways.
See, if that's the thing, you know, I'm curious how many, you know, say a book like Metro, the Cullen Bunn thing, or, you know, like another, what was another one? Like Neon Skies or something like that. I'm wondering if those books, if, you know, once the Kickstarter is successful, if it's possible to be like, you know what, we can sell rights over to this company to mass produce and publish stuff.
Yeah, you can
do that.
Do you
think something like that would ever happen?
I mean, it's happened. What's the one? Oh, man. The guy's
Barrier?
Barrier's kind of a different story because, I mean, BKV's got his own thing. The guy's from Archie. Kitty Must Die. That's the one. I don't know if you guys have ever backed those. I do them all every year when a new one comes out. I back Kitty Must Die because I think it's fun as hell and the art is awesome.
Mm. I just buy it from him at C2E2.
Well, and so the thing is, so they did the Kickstarter and then it was really successful. I mean, successful enough that they went out and put it out and decided to do a new one, but, Chapter House puts them out. So they do the Kickstarter, and then after all the backers get theirs, Chapter House solicits it. And so they release it monthly through Chapter House.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Chapter House is a small company. I think they're based out of Canada.
Yeah.
But even then, it happens.
They were following the books from up there down to here for cons last year.
Yes. Well, I think a lot of companies publish stuff in Canada, so I'm sure they have some kind of easy way to get their stuff printed up there anyway. That's been some of the issue at point. I know, well, Valiant always did the stuff in the US, but there were a couple companies that had issues. When they had to send to Canada, I think there's some like tariff thing because of Trump. Anyway.
Yeah.
But it happens. And then you brought up Neon Skies. I mean, that was a Kickstarter, right?
Yeah.
And now they have Neon Future coming out and they just decided to do their own company.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the name of the company. And there was another one, Impact Something. There's another new company coming out that I believe that they released a book on Kickstarter a year or two ago. And now they're going to be putting their own stuff out as well.
I'm looking at Neon Skies now, and it's Rogue Comics is the one that they called it, but I don't know if Neon Future is going to be the same or different.
Neon Future might be the company that I'm thinking of, the Impact It's not Impact Comics. That was something from the 90s. Oh, man. Impact Theory. That's what it's called.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a new company. And I think the one of the guys, I mean, obviously they've got the connection to a musician, but I think one of the guys did something in TV or film, the guy that started the company.
Yeah, that seems like it. Yep. That's always the case, right?
Yep. That's where the money's at, man. And I know some guys are leaving that went, I mean, remember the last like year or so, it's like everybody's just leaving TV and movies to go write comics so they can get something optioned. And now it seems like it's going the other way.
And then
way.
Get back into TV and movies.
Yeah, and then they just go back into TV and movies. Because, I mean, like, it's fine when you have a few people doing it, right? But when you oversaturate it and try to get everything optioned, then your chances of that happening are lower. That's why you should just do a Kickstarter.
The guy that started TKO is a writer for Gotham, right?
Yep, he's a writer for Gotham.
Oh.
Or was a writer since this is the last season.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember what else he did. Was it Revolution, I think? I don't know if you guys ever watched that. That was pretty good.
No.
It was a post-apocalyptic thing where like all the technology in the world quits working.
Yeah, it was like a big EMP thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think I watched like the first season of it.
Yeah, it was pretty good. So, I don't know. I think Kickstarter has interesting options for people. I'm just really surprised that other companies aren't taking wind of this and trying something similar. Phil Hester had tweeted out a couple days ago how he thinks that like Marvel and DC should do backup stories and bring in just like no name creators, right? Like off of Kickstarter or whatever, like webtoons and have them try their hand at that just to like develop the talent pool, right? Cause I mean, they have the in-house, whatever they call them, DC University or whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah.
And Marvel does them. But like a lot of times, if you want to break into those companies, you have to be like an intern or do this thing. Like it's not feasible for most people, I think.
Right. Yeah. Cause, doesn't Top Cow do like the top or new talent showcase or whatever?
Yeah. They had the pilot season
too.
Yeah. Mark Miller.
Oh yeah. Mark Miller does it.
Yep. Yeah. I think they do them once a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see like Marvel and DC looking at Kickstarter as a threat per se or as competition to them, because I think it's still small peanuts to them.
Well, it might be.
But yes, it needs to be like their farm system, right? For like Major League Baseball to like the minor leagues or whatever.
Yep.
Because you don't have, I mean, what else? You don't have that. You don't even have like an off brand that's, you know, like say Wonder Comics. I know it's not because the people writing those books are well-known writers, but even if you have an imprint where you have new talent to get their feet wet,
well,
or
wasn't
whatever.
What the, I just forgot what they called it. The stuff that Gerard Way was doing with DC.
Young Animal,
yeah.
Right.
When that one came around, wasn't that a lot of, I mean, I know Jodie Houser was doing it, but she, at the time, she was only basically doing Faith, right?
Yes. Yeah, she did Faith, and I think she did like a couple Spider-Man offshoots. And she's done pretty well. I mean, now she's doing Star Wars. She's doing Star Trek. She's got a few things out.
Yeah, she's writing the new Doctor Who, I think.
Yeah, Doctor Who. Oh, I'm sure Ronnie loves that.
But, I'm behind on it.
But no, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, that was an imprint where the people working on that were not, they were names that you had heard of. But it's not like it was, you know, a Bendis or a, you know, a BKV or something like that.
Yeah.
And, gotta be
somebody.
But
I don't think they gave it a really fair shake, though, either. Because, like, with that, you know it's not going to make money like Vertigo or DC proper itself, right?
Well, remember that Vertigo was losing money for years, though.
Well, okay, true. But, so maybe that's a better example of having people, because Jason Aaron came from Vertigo, right? I mean, obviously Marvel swiped him up, but...
And Snyder, too. Snyder came from Vertigo.
Yeah. So if you have, like, a mold like that, or an imprint like that, to where you know it's not going to make tons of money, and hell, sometimes it might even lose money, but at least you're giving this new crop of talent something, so, like, when your big guys are done, then they can be done, and you can bring in this fresh wave again. I don't know.
Yeah, I just feel like there's got to be some sort of innovation, and I don't see that innovation coming from Marvel or DC.
Well, do you think that Marvel and or DC, or I mean, or any other comic company, but do you have one of their interns just kind of looking over stuff on Kickstarter, seeing what's out there, and if something, you know, really catches their eye, that they might bring the, you know, bring it to the attention of other people? Do you think that they even have the foresight to do something like that?
I don't even know if they have the proper staffing to do it, as big as those companies are.
Yeah, but I mean, they have their social media people, right?
Sure, yeah.
Who, I mean, if you look at their accounts, they're not tweeting and they're not Instagramming all day, every day. So, I mean, I don't know. It'd just be interesting to see, you know, how the big companies look at it. If they do, you know, kind of keep an eye on it, or if they're just like, meh, whatever. If it's, you know, something special, it'll, you know, we'll find out about it later.
I think it's kind of in between for Marvel or DC. I mean, there's always people looking out for talent. That's the reason that C.B. Sobolski was put as editor-in-chief, is because for the longest time, that's what he did. He was in charge of talent acquisition. And he brought in a lot of people that nobody had heard of before. And he still seems to be that way. Somehow he survived all this controversy that went on the last couple of years. And he's still looking for that. But I think companies like Marvel and DC have so many books. Like, really, that's part of the job of the editor, is to look for new talent, right?
Right.
But think about how many, like, big cons Marvel or DC editors show up to. Like, you might see him at a New York Comic Con or C2E2 or WonderCon, something like that. But, like, they're not going to show up to SC Comic Con, where I'm at. Or what's the one where you're at, Ronnie?
PlanetCon.
Like, well, yep. PlanetCon's gotten pretty big, so, like, maybe they'll start showing up there. But you don't see a lot of that. And I know that, for example, I haven't talked about this, but Heather Antos used to work at Marvel, and Valiant just hired her. And she's already hired up, like, half a dozen new creators. I was just looking at Rags Morales is going to be going back to Valiant. He's taking over Bloodshot, I think, at issue 6. I mean, I love Rags, right? Because Rags was doing Valiant stuff when I was reading Valiant in the 90s. And matter of fact, I saw him, what was it, at Heroes Con? He was freaking awesome, dude. That guy is the best. And there's a bunch of guys. I mean, like, freaking Abnett is at Valiant. Like, I would never have thought that.
Yeah.
Right? But you need to have editors that have connections and that have the ability to go and look for these people.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta have the sales pitch to bring them in.
Yep. Interesting. That went a different place than I thought it would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did. Yeah. Any last thoughts?
No, not really. Is there any Kickstarters that you guys are backing right now?
I'm actually not backing anything right now.
No. That you, because you forgot to back the one that I keep yelling at you to back.
Oh, the dog one.
Yes.
Yes.
That'll be over by the time this comes out.
Let me sign in right now and back it.
It'll be close. What's I think that? We've got 7 days left. It's called Dog Days.
Dog Days.
A Zootopia crime noir story.
Dog Days. I know that Moonshot is over before this comes out, so.
Yep.
Yeah, Dog Days I think will have a day left or so after this comes out. So,
yep, you are correct.
And it needs about $1,500 more dollars. So,
which it could happen, right? I've seen that happen.
Well, it always, that like those last 2 days, things always jump up a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, the Boston Metaphysical Society, are you backing that one, Aaron?
I don't think so.
See, it has like, well, by the time this comes out, it has about 20 days left, and it's already almost met its goal. But it's like a ghost steampunk Philadelphia noir type thing.
You know what? I think I was not backing that one because it doesn't meet my length criteria.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know they're going to put it out because they've done a few.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's only 44 pages.
Yeah, that's why. There are a few that I've been watching, and I mean, even new ones that, you know, have like a month and a half to go, mm-hmm. that I just, they look so good, but it's like, you know, 25 pages, $25 for a 22 page book. And I was like, you know what? No, because I can back something that's, you know, 160 pages for the same price.
Yes, but you can back both.
I could, but, you know, I don't like you were saying before, the original graphic novels. Yeah. That's basically, if I can't get a graphic novel or at least a trade collection or something, I'm not going to do it. I don't really, you know, I mean, I read everything digitally, so I'm not going to back for floppies.
All right. Well, what about this? What about the conceptual heist? It's 136-page full color trade paperback or hardcover.
Which one is that? I don't think. Send me a link and I'll look at it.
Listen, Aaron Bell, you need to back this Boston Metaphysical Society. It's $34. You get everything.
Yeah. You get all volumes. Mm. Even if it's only 44 pages, you still get all volumes that are 44 pages. So then you basically get cents on the page.
Yep. And you get the novel.
Yeah.
Right, what is this thing called? Because
Boston Metaphysical Society.
Boston, like the city?
Yes.
Yeah. No, Boston, like the band.
Oh, Boston like the band. Okay. Yeah, I don't see it on here.
Oh, it's on there.
Nope.
They should rename it to Philadelphia Metaphysical Society, because apparently it takes place in Philadelphia.
Well, this one does, but...
Yeah. There you go, Aaron. I put the link in the Skype chat.
Oh, my God. That's the wrong computer. What are you doing to me? Yeah. Oh, fine.
That's a good one. I'm backing this one for sure.
Yep. It kind of looks like Rough Rider-ish style.
It does, yeah.
Rough Riders meet Nancy Drew.
Ah, I see it.
Yep.
Oh, you know what? I was looking at this one before, but
But you didn't see the pledge that where you got all of them for $35 or whatever.
It's all PDFs.
No, it's not.
Aaron, why don't you read the dang thing?
What is going on here? This is PDF. $35, super digital bundle.
No, not that one. Keep going down.
That's the what one she said.
Pledge $40. It's the merchant package. Was there like an early backer thing that you guys did that I didn't and I missed out?
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
I don't know. Listen, I saved it. I'll look at it later.
All right, fair enough.
So tired.
What was the one that you were talking about earlier, Aaron? The Low City.
That I was talking about?
Yeah, didn't you do that, or was that you, Ronnie? The fantasy buddy cop graphic novel?
Yeah, that was Aaron.
I linked it because I was confused that I could not find a physical a physical reward tier.
Oh.
It's right there. Hang on, I'll tell you which one it is. I'll tell you which tier it is. The Low City is...
You know what? I think Aaron's right.
It looks really cool, but it's digital copy, digital copy, digital copy.
No, the $20 or more, the officer one, it says your name in the special thanks section of the completed graphic novel plus all previous awards.
Yeah, right. But
previous rewards are digital versions.
Yes.
You don't get the graphic novel. You just get mentioned it. No, it doesn't say that. It includes all rewards from the lower tiers and your name in the thanks section.
Well, you're not going to do this one anyways because it doesn't come out until 2020.
No, December 2019.
Estimated delivery, March 2020.
Really? Because the one I'm looking at says June 2019.
All right. Here's what I gather from this. I think if you back it at – I can't remember. I was just looking at it. There's one level that you back it at. You're going to get the comics as they come out, but then – in 2020, you get a PDF of the graphic novel, a collection.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct.
But I think in the meantime, you get the print comics, right?
Or
is
don't know.
Or is only the first issue?
It's a printed signed copy of the pilot issue.
Oh, so it's just one issue that you get printed. See, that's weird.
Yeah, it looks cool, and I would totally back this one if I could figure out how to back it.
Well, you just back the 2020 one. And then by that time, you'll forget you even backed it, and then you'll get home from your hard day of delivering mail all day, and then you'll be like, oh, what's this box? Oh, I forgot I even backed it. There it is.
That's going to be like me and Squarriors by the time that one comes out next summer.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, is Squarriors not out yet? Oh, my God.
No.
That's like 2 years ago.
No, the second one.
Oh, the second one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. but the hardcover is not going to be completed, I think, until the springtime. And then the Kickstarter is not going to be out until the summer.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. But you know what? I like them. I like that book. So that one, I don't mind waiting for that one, but normally I try not to go too far into the future.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's now the end of January and I'm still waiting on stuff I was supposed to have in September.
Yep.
No, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. I was looking at the, I don't even know how to pronounce this, Eonian. Mm-hmm. The art looks really good, but $10 for a single issue is kind of high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, yep.
Haven't you learned that you just don't go single issues?
I say that all the time and I do them anyway.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the Gods of Azorin creepy cosmic horror comics Lovecraft style.
I saw that. That looked kind of cool.
But because you get, there's a level where you get 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Mm.
But I don't know the page count.
Yeah.
But like, I think it's like $64 or something for all four of them. So I don't know if it'll even out or not.
Are either of you backing the Pipers? I mean, by the time this episode comes out, it'll be over.
No, but I did look at it.
Got a couple hours left.
I looked at it. It's a Philip K. Dick story, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I had looked at it. It looks cool. I like the style. Is it digital painting or is it just watercolors?
It looks like digital watercolor.
Yeah.
What is it called?
Pipers.
Pipers. Or The Pipers.
Yeah, The Pipers.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I looked at it. But I didn't back. I haven't backed it, though.
Hmm.
Well, yeah. By the time we get over with this call, it'll be over.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I like the style. It almost looks like in a couple years it would be like, what's her name? Tula Lote? It's got that vibe to it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's correct.
Yep. Which, by the way, she's got a new sketchbook out. It looks freaking awesome.
Really? Oh,
interesting.
Yeah, you can go to, what is it, Big Cartel? Probably like Tula Lote.bigcartel.com.
I'll have to check that out.
Yep. Yeah. She's freaking awesome. What else you got?
Too many books.
I'm also doing Armadillo Justice, though, but Armadillo it might not Justice. Be your all thing. It's kind of like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles style, but in space and with armadillos.
Wait, that sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, I know. That's why I...
Armadillo Justice. Yep, here it is. Interesting. And see, that's a trade, Aaron.
Yeah.
He doesn't like anamorphic stuff.
What?
He's one of those guys.
What the hell are you talking about? <I'm just>
Considering that you said you're waiting on score years, right?
Yeah. that I've read Ninja Turtles and you know, I've read a ton of that stuff forever. No, this one, apparently the first issue Kickstarter for this one back in 2015 failed.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Huh. So, I mean, he's been working on this. How many issues are in this? Four?
Four, yeah.
Oh, no. Issues 1 and 2 of Armadillo Justice and issues 0 and 1 of your Armadillo Justice Tall Tales.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is the one that failed.
It's still 4 issues. That's pretty good.
Yeah. He's been working on this for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, figure it's got to be at least 4 years.
Yeah, at least.
Jeez.
So he's on like a Black Mask release schedule.
Well, you can't help it that the first one didn't.
Yeah, no, I know.
So he's like, you know what? I want this out, so we're going to do it again.
Yeah.
And it's still got a lot of time left.
Yeah, 22 days.
It's, 22 days.
It's, well, yeah. But and it's half funded, at least, or a little under.
Yeah.
Yeah, from 10 backers. See, that's the thing about Kickstarter, dude.
Yeah.
Make your dream come true. Stripper Hunters, yeah. Coming soon.
You know what? There was, yeah. I saw today, I forget what it was called. There's a Kickstarter that it's a father set it up for his 8-year-old kid who just likes to make his own comic books. And they were just asking like $500 just to cover print costs. And it basically, it was like almost funded today. It just started today.
Really?
And I mean, it looks like an 8-year-old is drawing a comic book, but I mean, like, come on, give him a little hope.
Well, he just started GoFundMe.
Well, because he wanted to do a comic.
See, that's what we need to do. We need to do a comic and say it's for our kid. Our kid's doing the comic.
Well, isn't Stripper Hunters doing it? Isn't that kid friendly?
I don't think Stripper Hunters is kid friendly.
Huh.
We gotta get this thing going. We've been talking about Stripper Hunters for like 2 years.
Yeah. Since, yeah. C2E2 2017.
Yep.
We just need artists.
We do. Surely we know some artists.
Yeah, maybe.
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 I doubt it.
We'll see. All right. You guys want to wrap this up?
Sure.
All right. Thank you for listening to another show of whatever this was. I don't know what it was, but it was fun. For me, at least. You can, of course, find Ronnie and Aaron on the Absolute DC podcast every week. Talking about the dude and Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yeah, Marvel books. We've done that a couple of
times. IDW, G.I. Joe books.
Yep, G.I. Joe. Yeah. Oh, that's what I meant to start last night. God dang it.
What, Silent Option?
Yep.
Oh my God, read it.
Oh, I thought you were going to start a G.I. Joe Central podcast.
No. Ain't nobody got time for that. Anyways, you can find me on Twitter. Oh, wait, you can find them on Twitter. At Rumbar316, at Aaron S. Bell, at DC Absolute. Is that
DC
right?
DC underscore Absolute.
Damn you, Twitter.
Yeah.
And you can find me at GeekBun. You can email yell@comictalk.today. But I never check it, so don't do that. Just find me on Twitter. And that's it. I'll be back tomorrow with some kind of episode.